Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Amen, amen. You just got to love that little trickle water there coming from the Sounds of Living Water. You got to love it, got to love it. I want to say hallelujah. Hey, shalom, shalom. Y'all almost made me say Shabbat Shalom. Shalom, shalom. Well, I'm going to say this. Welcome to another episode of the Sounds of Living Water from Job Israel on the Sounds of the Commonwealth of Israel. Here with my lovely Reverend Shireen Israel. Say shalom, Israelite.
Shalom, family, grace and peace on this beautiful, wonderful day. Thank God for the breath of life. Amen. And we're about to get in this word. We're about to get in this word. Amen. Get delivered. Amen. Brother Isaiah is online. Death now.
Man, I'll finish slapping up. I'm just one of them old school gangster moves. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. today, brothers and sisters, we got the Spirit of Meekness and Charity Bible Study class with our brother Isaiah Brown, man. And the precept today is
God will prove His servant.
His servant.
That's right, amen.
God will prove His servant.
Guess what scripture He used this time? Ecclesiastes 2:1, which says, "My son, if thou come to serve the Lord, prepare thy soul for temptation."
Prepare your soul for what?
That's Ecclesiastes 2:1.
If y'all don't have a pocket, for y'all missed that one. So I'm just telling you now. You know, don't feel bad because somebody told you and didn't use it. But yeah, you just missed that. You know, so I'm just
stay away from that witchcraft. It's all kind of hoodoo with them bugs. Leave it alone.
Did you hear this? Could I have that scripture from Ecclesiastes, please?
Yes, ma'am. So one more time, the title of the lesson this morning is God Will Prove His Servant. And Brother Isaiah had me put up Ecclesiasticus from the Apocrypha, not Ecclesiastes, but Ecclesiasticus. Chapter 2 and verse 1, which says, "My son, if thou come to serve the Lord, prepare thy
food."
Amen.
You already know.
I'm like you, Brother Joe. If they don't have an Apocrypha, they miss that one.
You missed that
mine.
One.
I got mine.
Yeah.
I got
mine. I don't
life.
Know about y'all, but I got the phone and I got the book from Sister Mary. So I got two. I don't know about y'all.
That's right. I forgot.
Our ancestor Denise. Thank you, my sister.
Amen. Amen.
Well, wait a minute. Whoa, 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 whoa. I got mine, and I got the one on my phone, and I got the one that I had, and I see I got the one in the rear. Stop.
Well, hell, we got 12 swords then. What's good, partner? We good to go.
And look,
we got 12 swords.
I got the book of Joshua and the book of Enoch on my computer.
That's right. So do I, Sister Mary. Ooh-wee. I'm still reading that too. We also have, guess what, everybody? We also have Sister Claire that wants to say something. Shalom, Sister Claire.
Oh. Shalom.
Oh, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey.
That's so funny. I am new to this. But hi. Yeah, I'm in the car here with my mom, and I was reading some of those books last night, and it's a blessing to hear y'all discuss more. So, yep, it's got me apart.
Amen. Well, thank you for tuning in, sis. Glad to have you.
Oh, praise.
Amen.
Well,
brother, we're going to turn this over to the Spirit of Meekness and Charity Bible Study class.
Amen.
Which is Nakomi Swanson, a.k.a. Little Israel, and Nehemiah Israel,
a.k.a. Yeah. God going to bless that brother, man, because I think he put everybody on that wheel big time on the Apophica.
Amen.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah, I know. God, yeah, because I could have sworn because before I believed the scriptures in the Apophica, I keep saying, man, where you keep finding these cold pieces at? I know I read the Bible. Then he started finding it in the Apophica. I'm like, man, hold up, man. This is true. The prophets talk like that in the Bible. Let me go and check it out. And that's a little snatched me up. He went fishing and I got caught by the net. Amen.
Amen.
I got caught up.
Oh, God. Hey, bro, when we turning it over, whenever you're ready to ride, I'm ready to ride.
Okay, amen. So am I reading for myself today? I don't mind, but if you want to read, that's fine, too.
I'm here, man. Come on, bro.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay. Perfect. Okay, let's go. All right, people, grace and peace, and thank you for tuning in to the Bible Blog Talk Show, to the Spirit of Meekness and Charity, and this is the Sunday morning breakfast brunch, and we are AKA live. I always got to say live because I normally do my precept on Thursday nights, so you might get caught up and think it's a recorded audio, but it's not. We are live. We are doing the real breathing right now, so we live. Grace and peace, and thank you for tuning in to the Bible Blog Talk Show. And just in case we have any new listeners tuning in, the name of the precept is called God Will Prove His Servants. You know, and the whole thing is that when you look at this word prove, you're looking at it at two different ways. Because remember, the Lord came and proved to them who he was. But when you go and do your own research in encyclopedias and stuff, we're actually going to go to that today with the encyclopedia. The word prove also means to test or to try. It's because this is one thing we need to understand. This is how God operates. Behold, I set life and death in front of you, and good and evil. Choose life and live. So if you hear the word choose, that means you have the option to choose either or. You can choose the wrong, or you can choose the right. But they both laid out in front of us. But by choosing the right side is proving to God that you love him. So you could be on your mind, or you could be in your head out there and say, I love the Lord, I love the Lord, I love the Lord. But then he gonna come check you out and see if you really love him. And your actions and your faith is gonna prove to determine if you love him or not. Plain and simple. And the reason why we use the scripture of Ecclesiasticus chapter 2 and 1 is to gird us up and to prepare ourselves for many temptations as well. But through the grace of God, everything goes smooth like butter. So I'm going to start us out in the Lord's Prayer. So all sisters, please cover your head, and brothers, please uncover your head. And if possible, let's face east towards Jerusalem so we can pray in. And after I finish praying, then elder will read a scripture on whatever the father put on his heart. Amen. After this manner, therefore, Amen. Pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest? And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye are not be so. No, forgive me. Verse 26, but ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief, as he doeth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth, is it not that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptation. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me. I read Luke chapter 22:24-29. May the Father add a blessing to the reading and doing of his word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And Brother Joe, that precept was so, that scripture you just read was so dang on powerful, it was ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? Because that is a full 3D print on humility. You know what I'm saying? Instead of the big heads that know all the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, why not just take the seed and let the young ones go ahead and take the role?
Come
you
on
know,
now.
And humble ourselves, right? So there's no such thing as big eyes and little U's. This is why in the book of Ephesians, gave the portion of talents. How could you perform your talent if the one with the bigger, with that nice title talent, don't know how to humble himself so you can go ahead and flourish your talent and use it for the edifying of the body of Christ? See, now I got to stop because we'll be in a whole different precept and don't even use none of these scriptures I have. But thanks a lot, Joe, because I know you the hype man, and that was a hype scripture. So hold on to that one. As a matter of fact, Sister Red, could you send that to my phone? Because that's a precept in itself that I could probably deal with, God willing, in the future.
Amen.
Amen.
That was a very good one, bro. But sadly, Amen. We're not dealing with none of that today. Well, actually, we are. We are. Yes, we are. I take that back. We are. But the precept can go so much further with that scripture. So thank you, Brother Joe. That is a precept in the making, God willing, in the future. And now it's time for us to take these scriptures off to shreds. And as always, pure razor blades and lemon juice. So the name of the precept, just in case we have any new listeners coming in, the name of the precept is called God Will Prove His Servants. And the word prove means it's just to simply show you who he is and also to try and test his servants. And, you know, I'm doing this precept because I woefully need it. You know, and definitely during the storm that's happening in my life right now, but I'm going to take it cheerfully. I'm going to take it cheerfully, and I'm going to be happy. And I'm going to still take care of the Lord's business. Because one thing I do realize and know, that when things are out of your hand, out of your control, the best way of looking at it is to understand that it ain't none of your business. I'm going through this. The guy got me going through this. It ain't none of my business because he already gave me the blueprint on how to walk and try to grab eternal life. So
right.
I'm going through these hard aches and trials and tribulations and adversities and bad burdens or thorns in the flesh. I may have all that stuff, but it could be to prove me. Because have you ever realized it when you really go through it and you get through it, things get so much easier.
Amen.
But God got to prove us to see if we're going to drop the ball. And what I mean by dropping the ball is this right here, brothers and sisters. What I'm talking about dropping the ball is basically saying this right here. Trials and tribulations happen in your life and you just can't take it. Oh, my God. What to do? What am I going to do now? So, Lord, he came and tried me, and this is it. I can't do it no more. Then guess what? You just failed your test. But in order for you not to fail your test is to take it cheerfully. That's when your faith come in.
Count it all joy.
Count it all joy. Be happy that you're going through it, because if you wasn't going through anything, that's when your ass be bucked out of your head, scared like crazy, because why is it that I'm calling myself a servant of God, but I ain't going through nothing? That's when it should get really, 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 really scary. But if you got your trials and tribulations, you got your whoopings, and you have your corrections, and you also got to understand is that if you call yourself a child of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that you're going to have trials and tribulations, and you're going to have to prove. Well, no, the Lord is going to have to prove to see if you can take this, because God already said I'm going to give you too much that you can't bear. So whatever we're going through, we should be able to bear it. And just in case if it gets too hard, I truly believe that this is one of the reasons why God had the prophet Job in the Bible. So no matter how bad it gets, you can never say it got worse than Job's. And if Job got through it, then you should get through it. Because I ain't tearing you up nowhere near as much as I did him, and he ain't doing nothing wrong. But you already know how we are with our minds, or, you know, dibble dabble in the goodie bag here and there. God called Job perfect. Perfect. And he took everything from him. So we do not have the gall or audacity to think that this should give us wiggle room to complain. The Lord dropped that tea on us. We better take it with some sugar and drink it up and be happy. And to understand that his burdens ain't that bad, or when the trials, tribulations come with us, it ain't that bad. And let's figure out why it's not that bad. So, Elder, let's go to the book of Matthew's chapter 11. The book of Matthew's chapter 11.
Yes, sir.
The book of Matthew's chapter 11. And what we're going to do, brothers and sisters, pick this thing up at verse 28. The book of Matthew's chapter 11, verse 28. And we're going to read verses 28 through 30. 28 through 30. Matthew's 11, verses 28 through 30. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Matthew's chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light.
Man, my load is light, y'all. Come on, it ain't that bad. Because you got to understand, if you call yourself a servant of God, you're going to separate yourself from the world anyway, so it shouldn't be that bad. That load of a burden shouldn't be to the point that you can't do it, because it's not that hard. And it's not that heavy on us. It's actually kind of light. Because didn't Jesus Christ himself say, peace I leave unto you? Not like the peace that the world talk about being peace, but I give you guys perfect peace. So your burden at the end of the day shouldn't be that bad. But the same point in time is God will prove you. And even when he proved you, the burden ain't that bad. Why? Because the Lord gave us an example of a kind of tough burden that I have not to this day met any servant that said that they went through what that servant went through. And we're talking about Job. But at the end of the day, it's not that bad. Because what it says here, it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and lean and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You can get through it. It ain't that bad. The work that we do in the vineyard ain't that bad. Want me to tell you why it's not that bad? Let's go into the book of Matthew, chapter 25. The book of Matthew, chapter 25. And what we're going to do is read verses 20 and 21. Matthew 25, verses 20 and 21. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Matthew chapter 25 and verse 20. And so they had received 5 talents, came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord.
So if you working on your talents, you got 10 talents. That means you should be very busy in the vineyard. But at the same point in time, his Lord said, man, I just gave you a few things. But here, take this crown and become just like me and the Father, and I'm going to give you your own city, just like Job put in that precept yesterday. And you should be in control of many things. Enter down into the rest of the Lord. But the key wording in this scripture is that thou hast been faithful over a few things. He didn't give you that much to do, but he gave you enough to keep you busy so you're not too much dibble-dabbling in your flesh, but to keep you occupied and busy with the things you're doing with your hands. Burn is light. And even though we do the talents and stuff like that, and also the talents that's in the book Ephesians, you know, preaching and teaching, or if you know you get your, or the Lord gets you dealing with your, with the poetry or art, or you're a musician for the Most High, you know, all the 9 yards. It really ain't, it really shouldn't be that bad. Because I'm an artist myself, man, doing a lot of comic books. It ain't hard. Hell, I love doing it. And it's a light thing. So you should not be weary. You shouldn't be murmuring. You shouldn't be angry. You shouldn't be filled with anxiety. Because if you keep yourself busy, you don't have time to entertain your thoughts. And we all know what the book of Jeremiah chapter 17 said, verses 9 through 10, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So in order for your heart to be desperately wicked, and you entertain them thoughts, it's easy because you're not paying close attention to what you're supposed to be doing according to the scriptures. But at the end of the day, it's burning his light. And even you got these talents, it ain't that bad. It really not. So now let's get into these scriptures on how God proved his servants. And what we're going to do is break this thing down and try to get a better understanding on how the Lord prepares us for the great things. But in order for you to get to, for the Lord to prepare you for the good things, you got to go through some type of trial and tribulation because he has to teach you once you get the blessing. I'm going to give you this blessing, but you got to go through hard times first because by going through hard times, you will know how to appreciate the blessing. But how could you appreciate the blessing if you ain't work hard for it? You ain't went through nothing. You need a job and you go get hired at McDonald's and you don't even know how to flip a burger and they just throw you on the suit and tell you you the manager. We all know that that store will be knocked down real soon. But in order to get the manager position, you have to work hard for it. Go through your trials and tribulations. You know, you got to deal with the work. You got to deal with the customers. And if you ever did any type of fast food restaurant, you know the customers is the hardest part of the job. But we got to see if you can get through that and keep a well-mannered behavior. Then we can talk about you becoming a manager. But before you become a manager, you got to go through your trials and tribulations. Same thing with God. So what we're going to do is go into the scriptures of the book of Genesis chapter 15. Because the Lord was very well pleased with Abraham. But at the same point in time, the Lord said, Abraham, I'm going to give you You can't count these numbers in the stars, but guess what? That's how your seed gonna be. But then the Lord gonna drop a ball also on them too to give him a better understanding on what they gotta go through. So what we're gonna do is go into the book of Genesis chapter 15, the book of Genesis chapter 15, and we're gonna pick it up in verse 1. Genesis 15 and 1, and we're gonna read verses 1 through 6. 1 through 6. And then we're gonna skip. So Genesis 15 verses 1 through 6, when you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision. Fear not, Abraham, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing that I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou, no, forgive me, verse 3. And Abraham said, Behold, to me thou hast given me no seed. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Thou shalt, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward the heavens and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and it counted to, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to be him, counted it to him for righteousness.
Right, so the Lord was pleased with Abram at that appointed time when his name was Abram. He was well pleased with him. And he said, man, you old, but you go, hey, you go have yourself a good time, you go have yourself a child. But look up into the heavens and see if you can count them numbers. Well, count them stars if you're able to. That's how your seed is going to be. So we understand the blueprint. The blueprint is the blessing to have a multitude of children. But in order for this thing to go right, you got to go through some type of trial and tribulation. So you will understand how to appreciate the blessing that God has given you. And after he gave it to you, then he going to have to prove you too. But so we get the blessing in verses 1 through 6. But it's also something else Abram got to look at that God is going to show him. So what we're going to do is skip down to verse 12. We're going to read verses 12 through 14.
Genesis 15 and verse 12. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, in horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not there, and shall serve them. And they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve, I will judge. And afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou.
Well, go ahead, read 15. Go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age.
Right, so the Lord is giving him another part of the blueprint. You know, you can't count them stars, but hey, they could be there. And that's how your children Israel is going to be. Well, how your seed is going to be, excuse me. But the same point in time is they're going to have great affliction, and they're going to be in a stranger's land. They're going to have to be taught what evil is. So that God rolled the children of Israel in captivity and bondage in Egypt just for the hell of it? No. But God put them through that, so once he put them in power position, they'll never want to do it to anybody else because they know how it feels to be in bondage. So even though you got the blessing, but you still got to go through it. If you go through it, then you get the blessing. So your children are going to go into Israel. You all know the story. When you read the book of Exodus, it was a terrible story. You know, all the children died at a certain age when Moses was born. You know, being whipped and afflicted. You don't know if you go live. You don't know if you go die. You despise and hate in the eyes. It's even an abomination if you sit close to them. Rough times. But it was necessary and it was righteousness for the Most High to put them in that position. So once God gave them the promised land that he promised to our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you wouldn't want to throw nobody in slavery just because you got the money. You won't treat them no ill manner way just because you got the blessing. You will not mistreat and abuse people because you know how it feels to be misused and abused and mistreated. So they had to go through captivity, brothers and sisters. And they had to get the whooping beat down. So when God deliver them and give them the blessing, they won't do it to nobody else. Because they know exactly how I feel. Hey, you don't treat that man like that. I know how it feels to be treated like that. Don't take that man's wife. I know how it feels when somebody come take your wife. Just because your clothes are all nice and clean and good, you still don't treat the bum like that because I know how it feels to be a bum before I had my position. So you go sit your behind right there next to him and treat him the exact same way as if you would treat me because I know how it feels to be treated in an ill-mannered way. So when the Lord is proving us when we get through it, it's teaching us as well. Are y'all following along with me?
Oh, yes, sir.
So this is what this thing is all about. Go
Amen.
Ahead.
What do you want me to read, bro?
Oh, I thought you was going to say something. I didn't want to cut you off.
Oh, no. We just in agreement. We following you like we're supposed to in the sheep and those scripts. Come on, bro.
Oh, man, you know, flies on boo-boo. That's good. Sticking together. But this is what it's all about. So just because you're going through your trials and tribulations doesn't mean it's the end of the world. Just get through it. And when you go through your trials and tribulations, learn from it. Because that's what we're doing this pre-sale, because Lord knows that poor, Even though I try to be the best servant I can be, boy, trust me, I'm an Israelite to the core. But the whole thing is to try to break that yoke of disobedience. Sometimes it's easier said than to be done. So through the grace of God, I hope we all learn something through this precept. So this is why the children of Israel went into bondage in Egypt. So they know how it feels to be mistreated, misused, and abused, physically and mentally. So since they know how it feels, then they should know good and well they don't want to do that to nobody else. So now let's go into the book of Genesis. No. Let's go into the book of Exodus chapter 20. The book of Exodus chapter 20. And what we're going to do is read one verse, and that is verse 20. Exodus 20 and 20. Will you get it, Elder? Go ahead and read.
Exodus 20 and verse 20. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for your God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not.
Amen. So he came to prove them, to show them who he is. So that's why they heard the ram's horns and the thunderings of lightnings and black pillar of smoke in the furnace in the wilderness, so you know exactly what you're dealing with. But at the same point in time is, brothers and sisters, we can still go and look through this word prove and get the proper definition on what it means too. So what we're going to do is to take a quick pause. I'm going to read a quick definition on the definition of proof. And the definition we're going to get is in the Encyclopedia International Standard Bible on the word proof. And it simply means to test or try. You think God just had them in that wilderness with no way of drinking or eating food and stuff like that for the heck of it? No. He did that just to see how much they believe in him, because he already gave them enough information. You seen what I did in Egypt. You seen the fire fall down from the sky. You seen the frogs. You seen me take up all their first fruits and stuff like that, kill the firstborn of Egypt. You seen me do all them things. But just in case, if you need a little bit more faith, I'm going to pop up in front of you, and so you know who you're dealing with. And after you, I find out, so after you find out what you're dealing with, then I'm about to prove you at the same point in time. I'm going to bring you through this wilderness, and I'm going to see how many of you are going to murmur and complain. Because crying, moaning, and complaining does nothing for you but get you in more trouble than what you already is in. So he came to prove them. Here I am. This me. These my commandments. Do your job. What we start doing. Oh, man, we up in this wilderness, man. It's all hot. You know, we ain't no pomegranates or no fruit trees around like that, man. We about to die. Not even realizing that God, what God did in Egypt, man, that was nothing. But you seen all the works. If God can do all that, surely he can take care of you in the wilderness. And you sit here crying and complaining to the point, and have you ever realized it, the children of Israel, I don't remember reading it, but I don't even remember the children of Israel being thankful that God didn't even have their clothes moth eaten when they was in the wilderness. Their shoes were still good. Their clothes were still good. It wasn't beat down and runny. Not one time did I read about them being happy and considerate that God even kept their clothes, right? But this is the proof. This is the test. This is to try you to see how you do in the worst situation you can possibly be in. So the Encyclopedia International Standard Bible on the word prove also means to trust or to test or try. So let's take a quick look at Abraham again, and let's see if he passed his test when God came to prove him. So let's go in the book of Genesis chapter 22, brothers and sisters, the book of Genesis chapter 22. And what we're going to do is read verses 1 through 12. Because if God said, I change not, you better believe God go through the stars too. Trust me on this, brothers and sisters, he sure will. So we're in the book of Genesis chapter 22, Genesis 22. And what we're going to do is pick this thing up at verse 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 12, Genesis 22, verses 1 through 12. When you get an elder, go ahead and read, and I might cut you off if necessary.
Okay, Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, I'm here. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee unto the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering. Offer upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, and he took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and cleave and wood for burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abram lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto the young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb? A burnt offering. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abram stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thine son, thine only son, from me.
Oh, man, did you just check this thing out here? So even though God loved Abraham, but he still wanted just to make sure he really trusts me. I know he loved me, he listening to me, stuff like that, but let me put him into this situation. Let me see what he going to do. I already told him that I'm going to bless this child he got. Let me see if he going to believe me. Hey, angel, go down there and tell him to sacrifice his son. And before he get a punch, put a piece of that blade on his skin, I want you to stop him. Because this ain't to kill him. But I just want to check him out. Let me see if he going to really do it. And we just read it. He did it. And what the angel say? Stop! Hey, stop, 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 stop. Now I know you fear me. So if the Bible declares, now I know, then it's obvious that God didn't know what Abraham was going to do. Because now I know means, oh, now I know. But before Abraham did it, it seemed like the Lord was curious. Let me see if he gonna do this. I don't know what he gonna do. I know he trusts me. But let me make sure. No, he my boy and all, you know, he's a good friend of mine. But let me just really make sure. Why do you think the Bible always say make sure of thy friend? We just seen that scripture prophesied right here. God is making sure of his friend. So, he pulled that knife out, eased up on his son, and the Lord said he has passed his test because he didn't withheld his only son from me. I came to prove my friend, and I tested my friend. I tried my friend. And he passed with flying colors. Even though he's going to have children that sort of surpasses the sky, I mean the stars in the sky, he's going to live a nice long age, and he shall receive himself a throne. Because I tried you. No, I proved you. I tested you. And you came back with flying colors. Well done, my good and faithful servant. So whatever issue we have in life, please do not murmur. Do not complain. Because 9 times out of 10, you deserve it anyway. It might not even be from because of your shortcomings. Because Lord know we all trying to fight the flesh and we can't always get it right. But the Lord just simply just might just want to test you and see how you do. He might just want to test you. So whatever issue you go through in life, please put your trust in the Lord and just please keep going forward. It might be to the point that you want to just bite somebody. Keep your mouth to yourself and go and serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And let him deal with it. You might have lost your job because a group of compulsive liars got together to get you out. Still, that just means God just got something better for me to do. I'm not going to get angry. I'm not going to get bitter.
But I'm going to keep going forward and pressing towards the mark because I know God got me. You keep an attitude like that, you'll see how God will bless you. Just like he did our father Abraham. Why was God so pleased with this? Why was God so pleased with Abraham? Why was God really so pleased with Abraham, even though he did all that? But why was God so pleased with Abraham? Let's find out why. Let's go in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. The book of Hebrews chapter 11. The book of Hebrews chapter 11, and all we want is verse 6.
Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Thou faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
That's why God was well pleased with Abraham, because without faith, it is impossible to please him. That means there's no wiggle room around impossible. So if the Lord come try to test you and try and check you out or get you for your sins, because you know you deserve it, you still better put your trust in God and do what's right. You better still keep having a good attitude at work, even though hell has been rained on you. You still better have a broken and contrite spirit. You better still have the spirit of meekness and charity on you, even though you're still going through it. You better still be able to have an upright conversation against people, even though you're still going through it. Because you got to have faith and believe that God's going to get you out of anything. That just think about it. He rained it down on you, right? You know you're stupid and you're always doing something dumb, but you're still trying to do what's right. Then the Lord will go grab his hand and smack you on your dang on back. Or smack you behind your head. The last thing you want to do is look at God and be what you hit me for. What you mean? You lucky I smacked the skin off your back, because I could just choke you out and throw you in the fire. That's what you deserve. But all I'm going to do is just knock you out. And hopefully when you wake up, you do better. Don't get mad and angry or bitter, because it's easy to come up when things ain't going your way. You know you're trying to do what's right, but just ain't nothing going right. That's when you're supposed to have the greatest shining armor of the shield of God on you during that time. When things is just out of control. Now, it's good to try to think about what you have done so you can fix it. I ain't never telling you not to do that. But just sometimes when things are just out of your hand, you just got to let God take care of his business. It could be for correction or it could be to try you. Who knows? But just still keep going forward. Now let's look at how God proved another servant. We got some reading to do, Joe. I owe you for yesterday. So we got some read to do. Let's go into the book of Job chapter 1. The book of Job chapter 1. And all we're going to do is read verse 1, and then we're going to skip. When you get it, bro, okay. Go ahead and read.
Job chapter 1 and verse 1. There was a man of the land of Oz, whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feareth God and escheweth evil.
Amen. So now we're about to read the story of a perfect and an upright man. And it's very important to read the story of Job. So just when things get really bad, you ain't had to go through half of what Job had to go through. Now let's skip down to verse 6. We go skip down to verse 6. We go read the whole chapter. Verse 6. When you get it, go ahead and read.
Job chapter 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then said Satan unto the Lord. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doeth Job fear thee, fear God for naught? Hast thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he have on every side? Thou hast blessed the works of his hand in the substance, and he is increased in the land. But pull forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when the sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, The oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them away, and yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, The fire of God is fallen from heaven, and burnt up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, The Chaldeans made out three bands, fell upon the camels, and carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, Thy sons and thy daughter were eating and drinking in thy eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote in the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young man, and they're all dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then arose Job and rent his mantle, and he shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped, and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly.
Oh, so Job didn't say, hey, where them dudes at? Go grab some soldiers so we can go kill them off so I can avenge my children. He didn't say that, did he?
No, sir.
He didn't go off and be like, oh, all this happened? Fire every last servant. You the last one, you over there too since you ran. He didn't say that, did he?
No, sir.
He didn't say none of that. He did not try to avenge anything. All he said was, in plain old American English, is what? God, you gave me many days of good with my children. You have given me many days of great love. You have given me many days of good food, plenty of food, camels and everything to ride upon. horses, great things. You gave me some beautiful children. You gave me a lot of money. You have given me great and plenty clothes. You have done a lot of great things, God. But today you have taken it away. The Lord give and the Lord take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's all Job said. Even though you gave me all these things and great money and riches and all that, and just with a blink of an eye, you took it away. I don't know why. But the best thing for me to do is to rent my clothes and shave my head and to thank the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob for allowing me to have great things at that time appointed. And even bless you, my Lord God and Father, when you take it away. You gave me great things, and today you have taken it away. I'm not going to curse you. I'm not going to think of no ill manner against my God. But all I'm going to say, my Lord, is that you have given and you have taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When you are serving the God, that's all we got. That's all we got. So even though we got nice cars, shoes, clothes, and family and stuff like that, the last thing you want to do is to charge God foolishly and to point the finger at him like he did something wrong. Because for one, I didn't even have to give you that at that appointed time. And if you call yourself a servant of God, the only thing that matters is pleasing the Father. That's the only thing that matters. Anything else is a stumbling block in your way. Because you got to think about it. It is so important to leave it how Job left it. Lord, you give it to me, you take it away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Because once you start thinking of the things you have lost, that's going to bring what? Anxiety. And guess what else is going to bring forth? Pride. Because you're going to think that I'm this great servant, I shouldn't be going through these things. Now, what that's going to make you? As if you're somebody special. So even when it's out of your way, you can't do nothing. Don't even think about it. But just keep pressing towards the mark. Because as you're thinking about it, a thought might slip up and get yourself in trouble. So leave it like how Job did. The Lord has given. The Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord, and leave it just like that. That's it, brothers and sisters. And we got to really push this because it's so easy for a wicked thought to pop up in our head. If he come to prove you or try you or test you, take it cheerfully. Because the only thing that we're supposed to be looking forward to is trying to receive a throne. That's the only thing that matters. That's it, brothers and sisters. Now, that one came from the heart. Remember, if you don't remember nothing this precept, remember what Job just said. Now, let's go in Job chapter 2, and we'll read verses 1 through 10. Job 2, 1 through 10. When you get an elder, go ahead and read.
Okay, yes, sir. Job chapter 2, verse 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? A perfect and upright man, one that feareth God, and escheweth evil,
And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yea, all that a man have will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to his crown. And he took potsherd and scraped himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, doest thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. And he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive the good at the hand of God and shall not receive evil? All this did not Job sin with his lips.
So what is this telling us, brothers and sisters? That if you call yourself a servant of God, you better prepare yourself for a lot of afflictions. The Lord is
Amen.
Merciful enough to let us enjoy. You know, Lord God is merciful enough for us to enjoy the better things in life. But you better believe that it's a couple of pieces of glass of a piece of a blade in that goodie bag that the Lord is allowing you to have. So if you got yourself a bag full of money, you better believe that there's some razors up in there too to just chop, just to scratch your finger a little bit so you know that you still got trials and tribulations to go through. Just breaking that metaphor down. So you might get the nice house and nice cars. Don't mean you go always have a job. But if you have your, if you put your trust in God, then guess what? You just got to go through the hardships, and he give you a job when necessary. But you still got to go through it. Because the last thing somebody want to do is get kicked out of their house and go into a shelter. So when you lose your job, your fear is going to a shelter. Or to see if somebody might drive past you and recognize you. All these things in your minds. But once you think like that, you was just proving to God that you don't trust him and you don't believe in him. So if you call yourself brothers and sisters, if you call yourself a servant, you better believe you're going to go through something. Because guess what? The wicked don't go through nothing. And David said, man, my foot almost slipped when I seen the wicked having a good time. Nothing bad happened to the wicked like that. They live long. They barely ever sick. They got all these money, cars, and jewelry. Everybody love them. Always high-fiving them. Always showing them the uttermost right respect. But now I'm here serving you with all my power and soul, and I'm going through hell. My foot almost slipped. But before David's foot slipped, he had to go back and go in that book to understand why. The wicked don't go through no type of trials, tribulations. Like that is because they are going to what? They don't change their ways. They're going to burn forever. So that's why they don't go through nothing. That's why they have a good time and live long and all that kind of stuff. Look how messed up our government system is. Or look how messed up this world is. The wicked is having a great time. It might be a lady working at the office struggling. But she looked across the street and that stripper got a whole wad full of money in driving a BMW. Man, she living good. But what does she have to do to be living good? You might be a brother working at a construction job or something like that, or working at an office, or even working at a food joint. Who knows? Or probably working at a bar. Struggling. But you see Joe Blow over there driving a nice old 2020 Mustang with a pocket full of money. Man, he's doing it good. But the question is, you didn't know that he stole half of everything he had to get it. We don't know that. So we better enjoy our little coins in our pocket and let the wicked enjoy the wob full of money, because to us is given everlasting life. To them, they have the reward they're receiving daily. So this is why the Lord said, don't be envious of the wicked just because they're prosperous, because that's all they get. But you're going to struggle and might have to eat canned food for a couple of months, but guess what? At the end of the day, you shall be with me forever. Let the wicked have a great time and you stop worrying about them and come follow me. That's like in the book of 2 Ezra, when the prophet was praying for everybody named Mama, and God said, man, you came real low with that prayer, brother. I'm attracted to you. I want you on my team. Why are you worried about them? Why are you worried about the wicked? Why? Why do you give a hell rat's behind on what they're doing if I'm interested in you? You might get the nice flashy car, or you might just get the 1987 station wagon. Doesn't matter, you're still going to make it to your destination on time, or even if you ain't got a car, all you need is a couple of dollars to catch the bus, you'll be all right. Stay focused on my work and just worry about that. Same thing. But God proved Job and tested Job and tried Job. And Job passed the second test, because he did not sin with his lips. This is what the devil is trying to do. He's trying to get Job in a position to curse God with his lips. He wanted to get Job to the point like, Lord, check this out right here. Check this thing. Check out this story right here. This is what the devil's desire was with Job. I'm going to take everything he got. I'm going to take his kids. I'm going to take all that stuff. And then I'm going to go ahead and get in his wife's ear to have him curse God and die. This should work. He want to get Job to point like, Lord, I'm serving you. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm a perfect upright man. I took care of the poor. I helped the starving. I even made the widow heart sing for joy. I even knocked out the wicked man that was persecuting the poor. And you going to do this to me? Man, F this. Back like about that brother. That's where the devil wanted Job to go. To cuss God out like it ain't no tomorrow. Because if Job did that, I don't think that he might. I don't see him making it to the kingdom if he did. Because you just can't do that. But that's where the devil want to get you at, to curse God out. Because who cussed God out? It may seem like he's nothing. The man of perdition. To blaspheme the Holy Ghost and God that sit in the heaven. And to make it seem like they don't exist. But the story reading is to have Job cuss God out. If you're not aware, and if you're not paying attention, and when your trials come, woe unto you. Be mad for this when the Lord come to prove you or to try to test you. Know and understand that you still got to walk forward and to please the Most High God. Because Job had two tests. He passed them. And because he passed them, let's look at the reward. Let's go to the book of Job chapter 42. The book of Job chapter 42. Job 42, and what we're going to do is read verses 10 through 17. When you get a book, go ahead and read.
Job chapter 42 and verse 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed
for his friend. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters, and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every man and every one a ring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yokes of oxen, and 1,000 she asses. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He called the name of the first Jemiah, the name of the second Keza, and the name of the third Kirin Hapuk. In all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them an inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years, and he saw his sons and his sons' sons even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days.
Amen. So now he passed his test, even though it was a rough one, it was a hard one. Even though that flesh caught up on him, but he still held on strong and got a chance to produce more children and to have 3 daughters that will surpass the dime piece with more sons, and also got a chance to see his sons have children, their sons have children, and their sons have children, 4 generations, and lived a nice, good old life, and slept with his fathers. And when he wake up, he will be in the first resurrection to enjoy greatness for everlasting, just because he took that whooping. This is where we want to get up, brothers and sisters. So when the Lord come and prove you and try us, remember that it's just to make you a better servant. It ain't just to tear you down beyond recognition if you really trying to serve God. It ain't like that. God don't work like that. But he put us in these situations to make us stronger. You might have prayed for God to bless you with something. You know? Maybe you want to get into real estate or something, you know? And God might have a great blessing for you. But before you get that blessing, I got to see how you run with your money. You know, I can't give you what you want if you're an alcoholic. So what I got to do is just beat the living crap out of you. So then, and make you stop drinking. And then I got to show you how to take some classes and courses to learn how to spend your money right. And then once you mature enough in that, then I'll bless you to get this real estate and you just start working on your business. But sometimes, or a lot of times, we pray and ask for things that we're not even ready for. So to get you ready for it, I got to put you through it. And once you get through it and you pass it, then you get the blessing. Is anything wrong with that? No. So let's go to the book of Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Just that one verse, bro. When you get it, go ahead and read.
Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Do all things without murmuring and disputing.
Right. So don't be out here disputing and murmuring and complaining and whining. Oh, why do I got to go through this, man? I just went through something. I got to go through something again. Oh, my goodness. Don't do that. Because you're going to find yourself in a situation you don't want to be in. So don't be complaining when God come to test you and to prove you to see if you really deserve what you're asking for. Don't do it. Now let's go to the book of Ecclesiasticus chapter 2 and just read verse 1 for me, bro.
Ecclesiasticus chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if thou come to serve the Lord, prepare thy soul for temptation.
Right, so you better understand. You better understand. If you call yourself a servant of God, you're going to have to, woo. Because remember, the Bible said that God overcame all things. We got to overcome all things. I ain't there yet. But like Nakomi said, I'm going to go ahead and, I ain't there yet. But before I go, I believe that God is going to get me where I need to be. So
Amen.
Know that you have a problem. And to understand that in this generation, we really got to prepare ourselves because everything we see on TV or outside is wicked. A lot of us don't have the latitude. We don't have the luxury of being out in the country somewhere where there's no way for you to be entertained with madness. So when you put on TV, remember what you're watching on TV. You're going to work. Remember how you're supposed to be. You're going to have to deal with some people at your job. And if you're a male, you might, you know, you might have many women that's interested in you. But you got to be strong and not let that get, and don't let that temptation get you. You might have liars and backbiters and all that. Prepare yourself for all this. And don't be like that man that look yourself in the mirror and forget how he looks. Remember who you're supposed to be at all times. Definitely when you're out there in the world. So we need to prepare ourselves and understand that we're going to be tempted in a lot of areas. But through the grace of God, we will overcome all of them. And I believe that. I have faith that we will. That's trying to serve God, we will overcome. So now we have, we almost done with the precept, brothers and sisters. We got a lot of one-hitter quitters. We got five more left. Let's go into the book of Psalms, chapter 27 and 14, so we can read about some patience. We're in the book of Psalms, chapter 27. Psalms 27, verse 14, that one verse. When you get it, go ahead and read.
Wait on the Lord, and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
Amen. Let's wait on the Lord. Even though we're going through our, we got our trials and tribulations, you know, the Lord could be testing and trying us out. We got to wait on the Lord and be patient for him, and not to get crazy. Let's go to book Isaiah chapter 40. The book of Isaiah chapter 40, and just all we want is verse 31. Isaiah 40 and 31. Do you get it, bro? Just that one verse.
Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and be not weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Amen. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings and with as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So that's what we want to get at, y'all. We don't want to get weary, and we're going to walk this thing. And through the grace of God, we not go faint. So when God come and prove us or to test us or to try us or anything that he find that's suitable for your actions, do as the book of Isaiah chapter 40 and 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. This is what we want to get at, brothers and sisters. Let's go to the book of Psalms 37. The book of Psalms 37. And we got two more after this. The book of Psalms 37. Verses 7 through 9. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read it.
Psalms chapter 37, verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him that prosper in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth.
So just because the wicked is enjoying himself and having a good time, don't envy him, don't hate him, or if you got some stiff-necked, very ignorant niggards at your job that's doing everything in their power to try to get you in trouble, don't knock them out, because then you're going to go to jail and lose all your possessions, and then woe unto you. Keep your mind right, keep your strength, keep your faith, and push towards the mark. And remember the spirit of meekness and charity. Let's go to the book of Psalms chapter 130. The book of Psalms chapter 130. And all we want is verse 5.
Psalms chapter 130 and verse 5. I wait for the Lord, my soul doeth wait, and in his word do I hope.
All we get is hope, brothers and sisters. We hope that the Lord will forgive us for our foolishness and not count it our sins. But hopefully, through the grace of God, he'll look over some of our sins. Or if we do a greater job, let's hope he look through all of them and bless us with everlasting life. So that's our hope. We hope that God strengthens us to get us out of our foolishness, and we can hope that God has a spot for us in the kingdom. So even though we're going through it, our hope shouldn't be what we're going through, but our hope is that whatever we're going through, we get through it. And even hope for greater things and get a chance of everlasting life. Now let's go into the last scripture of this Bible. This scripture. Well, let's go into the last spot of this lesson. Let's go to the book of Psalms chapter 62 and 5. The book of Psalms chapter 62 and verse 5. Just that one verse.
Psalms chapter 62.
And 5.
Psalms chapter 62, verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectations is from him.
Amen, amen, amen. My soul, wait thou only upon God. Because no matter what you're going through in life, no matter what flesh say or what they go do, don't mean anything, because just because a man thinks something, the Lord got the last word on it. So somebody might want to do some ill manner or wickedness against you, rather whatever it is. Remember, brothers and sisters, they can't do a damn thing. And if they are prosperous with it, it's because God allowed it to happen. That can also be your test of trial. It might be that God is trying to prove you. Could be for correction, or it could be what happened to the children of Israel, to go through what they went through so they'll learn not to treat other people how they had been treated when it was in Egypt. It could be for anything. But man don't have the last word on anything. It's the Most High God of Israel. So by understanding that, brothers and sisters, by understanding that God has the last word, by understanding that our hope is in God, that keep us at peace, because a man can say anything, or a woman, or try to do any manner of wickedness against you. God has the last word. And if you put your trust in him, you'll get through it. And then the wicked will see the blessing that God has for you. But you got to get proved. You got to get tried. And you got to get tested to see where you are in your faith. Are you going to drop the ball and faint? Or are you going to hold yourself upright? Through the grace of God, I hope y'all got some wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of this precept. The name of it, the precept is called God will prove his servants. And I thank y'all for y'all time.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father's merciful. I turn things over, Brother Job and Sister Rhea. I thank y'all.
Awesome. Awesome.
Amen.
Awesome. Awesome. Awesome.
Good reading,
Amen.
Brother
Job. Job was on fire.
Yes, he was. Both of you guys were.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Father's mercy.
Absolutely awesome.
Yeah. Thanks, bro. You're on fire.
Brother Gary.
Amen.
Amen.
I just want to go back and visit that Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and I want to read a little further. You know, it says, I'm picking up at verse 1. He said, my son, if thou come and serve the Lord, prepare thy soul for temptation, right? But look at verse 2. Hard to write and constantly endure and make not hate in a time of trouble. You know, be patient. Be patient in a time of trouble. Cleave unto him. Depart not away, that thou mayest be increased at thy last end. Ask Job, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whatsoever is brought upon thee, take cheerfully. And be patient when thou art changed to a low estate. For gold is tried in fire, so a man in the furnace of adversity, believe in him, and he will help thee. Order thy ways aright, and trust in him. Yea, ye that fear the Lord, wait for his mercy, and go not aside, lest ye fall. Ye that fear the Lord, believe in him, and your reward shall not fail. Ye that fear the Lord, hope for good and everlasting joy and mercy. Look at the generations of old, like we just got through doing Abraham, Job, so forth. He said, look at the generations of old and see, did ever any trust in the Lord and were confounded? Or did any abide in his fear, was forsaken? Or whom did he ever despise that called upon him? For the Lord is full of compassion and mercy and long-suffering and very pitiful and forgiveth sins and saveth in a time of affliction. Woe be unto the fearful heart, faint hands, and the sinner that goeth two ways. We ain't reading that part. That was good. Verse 11, 1 through 11, Ecclesiasticus, people. That's your conversation in your walk before God. Just know that we're going to be tried. Like your brother said, he want to, you know, you got to be found worthy to receive this crown. Look what happened to Jesus. He said, a servant is not above his master. You want this throne? You want that crown? He said, are you able to bear your cross? Able to wear his shoe? He said, man, are you able to walk the walk I'm walking? Asked Peter. Peter was like, oh, Lord, I go to jail. I freak out.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm.
No, man. You got two people on the planet. That's what the Lord showed me in his book. You got two people on the planet. You got those that are on the cross, and you got those that's putting people up on the cross. So what do? You bear your cross if you're called to be persecuted. And when the Lord, and then remember now, Jesus said, this is from God. He said, my servants will fight. He said, this is from him. I just want to say, man, great precept. Thank you for bringing me back into remembrance that, you know, that the trials and tribulations that I'm going through ain't nothing compared to what the Lord is have planned for us in the end, you know. So thank you for bringing us back in remembrance, those of us that really believe in him, and those of us that's finding faith in him today. All right? So with that being said, man, I yield a mic on that one, brother. Great precept.
Amen, bro. The Father's merciful. And thank you for adding that good script in too, bro. Anybody else like to say anything or add on to the precept?
Well, bro, great precept, man. You got people listening, but I think they've been fed, Jack. So any closing comments before we wrap it up?
Yeah, just put your trust in the Lord. And hold on. No matter how hard it get, hold on.
Amen.
Amen.
So, brothers and sisters, you can catch your brother Isaiah Brown here at the Sounds of Living Waters every Thursday night. Thursday night. Remember that. That's Thursday nights at 7 o'clock p.m. And the reason why I'm having Tuesday on the brain because you got the red and the black and the green room with your brother Ahmad Farrell, or Farrell Ahmad, who we so passionately call Sa, which he said, man, I'm Farrell, man. Hey, here every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock p.m., you want to be here for that.
And that was a great lesson he did last Tuesday.
Oh, it was
Word
fire.
Is bomb. That was fire.
Yeah, it was. You know, reminding us that, hey, man, be careful what fall out of your mouth.
Yeah.
You will be a comma. Every idle word, whatever fall out of your mouth, you better be careful. You're going to be held accountable.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was a fire piece. Well, he'll be back here Tuesday night. So with that being said, we're going to thank everybody for their time. And we hope we edify someone. And as we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters, do what?
Read your Bibles.
Read your Bibles.
Read your Bibles.
Sounds of the Living Water radio show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High, lost, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show.